Welcome back to Three Guys in a Pod. I'm back with the boys, Travis and Cody. How you guys doing?
What's good? What's good?
What's up, my good friends? Ooh. I'm back.
It was quite the free agency week, wasn't it?
It was.
Shit got real.
Everyone was impatient at first, but Greer did his thing. And let's dive into it.
It was a roller coaster of emotions this week. Dolphins Twitter was losing their shit, and they were celebrating like crazy, and then fighting with each other again. Just typical week in paradise. Yeah.
Very dysfunctional. That's what we are.
That's a family, though, you know?
So, start off the show, we got a new segment. It's going to be called Food for Thought. And since Travis is known for his food controversy on Twitter, we thought we'd give him a weekly segment to further explain himself. So, what is it this week, Travis?
Okay. Oh, here we go. So, it's not really a food take this week. We're going to start it off. It's definitely a controversy. It was one that I wasn't expecting so much backlash on. But this week, we're going to talk about Dippy Eggs. So, here in Indiana, I think... Trayton, did you grow up with, did you use the term Dippy Eggs?
Yeah, we used Dippy Eggs.
How about you, Cody? Did your family use Dippy Eggs, the term?
I still don't know what the hell Dippy Eggs are. I thought you made it up. I've never heard that term
before. It's literally a egg that is just dippy. That's it. You dip toast in it, you know, you take your fork and you poke it and you just let the yellow splurge. That's all it is. But these egg prude people are like, no.
Connoisseurs?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess egg connoisseurs are like, no, you gotta call it over easy or over medium. Look, you bastards, this is not a steak, all right? You know, I'm all on board with a good steak. You know, you gotta get the right, you know, whether it's medium. Okay, fine. These are eggs, okay? This is a very basic start to your day, breakfast. You know, it's just, so yeah, dippy egg. It's very... so Trayton used the term, Cody didn't. I, growing up, going out to breakfast with my grandparents, that was the term, you know, 6-7 years old, it was dippy egg. So I wasn't expecting so much, backlash on that. Now, obviously, as I got older, I did learn that, it is definitely frowned upon for an adult to go into a restaurant and say dippy eggs. It did feel awkward as I got older. So I learned the term. But you're damn right. At my own house, I'm going to say dippy egg. And Cody, I would suggest the same, because it's just, it's a simple term of just simpler times when we were younger. And, you know, we're older now. And sometimes you got to keep it simple. And so that's my food take for the week. We're going to have some other ones. I mean, I don't miss when it comes to food. I like to eat and I don't get a lot of backlash on food takes. So we'll get into more food takes each week. But this one was more of a controversial, I would say, food name. So all you people out there who, you know, frown upon the term dippy egg, okay?
My problem with dippy eggs. Like, I thought you were making this shit up, but I Googled it and it came up and I was surprised. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is actually a real term. So I give you credit for that. But I'm not going to use it because it just sounds gross. Like, it doesn't sound appetizing. It sounds like the eggs are like spoiled or like, what's wrong with them? Well, you know what I mean? So,
Cody, I'm glad you said that, because we're probably going to lose some followers right now, or listeners, I'm sorry, at this stage. We're what, 4 minutes, probably 4 minutes in. Do you know do you even know what a chicken egg is? Like, do you actually know what it is? It's the most disgusting thing ever. If you knew what it was, you would never eat eggs. And actually, as I'm saying it, I'm not even going to say what it is, because it's that disgusting. You probably would never eat eggs again. Like, you hate.
So I'm not going to call it something disgusting. I'm going to call it something nice. Like, over easy. It sounds like a pleasant Sunday morning.
See, here's the thing. If I tell you what it is, it upsets me that you want to use such a complicated term for something so disgusting. So, you know what? For the simple fact that I want you to eat eggs because it's a good part of a diet, I won't tell you what it is. But after the show, look up what a egg is. Just look it up. It's free.
All right. You can make us some dippy eggs next time we're in town. It better be.
I'll make you some
good
old dippy eggs with some toast and sausage.
I've got a question. So at what point do you have to graduate at restaurants from calling it dippy eggs to over easy? So, What's the cutoff age?
I would say, see, now that's where I think that's where we can't frown upon the term. You need to, I think what I got from the argument was people just didn't like the fact that you're a grown man using dippy eggs. And it's like, you know what? I have kids. So first off, lay off my sack. I would say.
You shouldn't have to graduate from it. If you like the term, keep using it. It's a terrible term, but like at least stick to your guns. If you're graduating from it, it's a terrible term to begin with. So.
See, I like that. I'm cool with that. Like, but I don't know.
Like, I'm going to make fun of you, but at least like stick with it. I'll have some respect for you.
Well, I still call it.
You know?
Well, to answer your question, I would say around age 16, going out with my friend, like, you know, I'm driving, going to breakfast with my friends, and they asked me how I'd like my eggs, and I didn't have anyone to order for me. And I was like, oh, shit, dippy? And she kind of looked at me, the waitress, and she's like, you mean, like, over easy? I'm like, oh. So that's where I learned it. So I would say, because of that moment, I would say you probably need to learn and stop, I don't know, you probably need to stop using the term at age 13, 14, before your friends.
Once you're done with the kids,
I would say that's a good time. Because otherwise, if you go out with your friends, they're all going to just destroy you. If they're like, you know, grew up thinking they're better than everyone. So I'd say that. I'd say around that age. Or use it. Fuck it, like Cody said. Or use it if it makes you feel good, like me. If you got kids, throw that term out there. You know, don't confuse the poor kids, especially with math and all the stuff they have to learn nowadays and everything else. Just keep things simple as much as you can with these poor children.
Yeah.
All right, next topic.
All right. So before we get into free agency, we'll just kind of go over the Isaiah Wilson situation. Now, as a lot of Dolphins fans know, we traded for him. We swapped seventh round picks like we talked about last week, but we cut him after 3 days. So what are your thoughts on that, Cody?
I mean, damn, that sure escalated quickly. I think we kind of knew it was kind of a scratch-off lottery ticket to begin with. Like, obviously, he got his way out of Tennessee after one season for a reason. Like, they didn't just trade a first-round pick that easily. It was an obvious decision to them. So we probably shouldn't have got our hopes up that he was going to work out and potentially win a starting job or even a backup job. But you know what? Like, the risk involved here was always if, like, we were still on the hook for paying him, which we aren't. The guarantees in his contract were voided. So it's really no harm, no foul. Basically, the seventh-round pick swap, if you have a seventh-round pick this year, seventh-round pick next year, does it really matter? Like, who gives a shit, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, it was worth a shot. Maybe he figured it out. Maybe he didn't. It just seems like he has no interest in playing football. So I hope he finds whatever he's looking for, because I don't really see a team taking a chance on him at this point after blowing a second opportunity. So good luck to him, but I think it was probably right for us to move on when he didn't show up to any of the workouts or the physical that he had in his 1 week with the team. So yeah, no harm, no foul though. I'm not losing any sleep over it. I think we made the right move to give it a shot and didn't pan out.
Now we can draft Sewell.
Back to the yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, a couple of episodes ago when we touched on it, you know, I felt like we did a pretty good job, you know, talking about him in that situation, because you know it was a deal, you know, it was a trade where, again, like Cody said, it didn't hurt us, but yeah, I mean, it just didn't work out. And especially, you know, we tried helping him. I mean, that was, I read the details and, you know, he missed the way, you know, I think it was weigh in and he missed this and that. And it's like, that was the big thing is, you know, we traded a seventh. It could have worked out for us, you know, but the big thing to me is in reading all the details is like, we were trying to help him. I mean, that was the thing that, you know, I kind of was joking about on Twitter at first, like, okay, this guy's an idiot. But in the grand scheme of things, like, he seeing one of his posts on Snapchat, I'm like, okay, this guy's like troubled. Like, he it's beyond football. And, you know, you have Titans fans talking shit and, you know, it's like, it's not, if you actually sit back, I mean, I kind of feel bad for him. I mean, there's obviously something wrong. I know I had read a couple of things that he has dealt with, you know, some demons that are pretty bad. So yeah, I mean, I wish him all the best. And like I said, we covered it. I think we did a pretty good job of covering it. We didn't get our hopes up too much, and you know, we weren't putting all of our eggs in one basket. Like, oh, he's our answer to everything. You know, it was, we all were on the agreement of, if it worked out, you know, great, home run for Greer. If not, you know, it wasn't a big deal. Like Cody said, we didn't give up anything for it. And again, you know, just shout out to like Flores, and, you know, I know they had a connection, and he genuinely, you know, wanted to help him. I think that was the big thing. And trying to, you know, take advantage of this opportunity. But yeah, I mean, I hope hopefully he figures it out, because yeah, the videos were definitely like, oh man. Yeah, just hopefully he can get some help, or, you know, just find the happiness that whatever he's trying to look for, I guess.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kid. He's wasting away a talent that like kids would die for, and like a lot of kids work so hard, but they don't have they're not 6'6", 350 like him and can have the tools that he has at his disposal. But at the end of the day, you can't force him to play, and he's going to do what he wants. But I'm glad we were quick to cut him, because we don't want that kind of presence in the locker room either, and to maybe wear off on some of the guys. But I think in about 5 years, he's going to be asking himself what he's doing.
Yep.
So, but sad for him, but we'll move on. So let's talk about free agency moves. We're not going to give our grades just yet. We're just going to talk about some of the guys we liked and the deals we got. And so, Chalice, why don't you kick it off?
All right. So I'm probably going to be I'll kind of go over, you know, just a couple of them. I'm not going to keep it to just one, but I'll try and make it quick. You know, the Shaq Lawson trade, that one at first, it's like, no. I had knew of McKinney, but I had really liked Shaq Lawson this past year. So it kind of, that one kind of was like, oh man. But then when you see what McKinney can do on the field, you see what we can do at linebacker. You know, we hit at edge last year. You know, I kind of just, and I'm at that point where I'm trusting Greer, and I'm trusting Flores. You know, Flores is a genius. He's a hell of a coach. So I think we get a solid linebacker. So I was kind of split on it, but at the end, you know, watching McKinney, I like it. I like the trade. I think we'll be fine. I think we'll get an edge in the draft, and, you know, our defense will be good. Punter. I know we picked up, Polarity. I was happy with that. A lot of fans liked Matt Hack. I did not really like him. Is it Hawk? Hack?
Matt Hawk.
I mean, call him.
Hack is probably more appropriate for some.
That's what I call him, Matt Hack, because some of his punts, man, it's like, and I think the big thing you've seen with Flores is he takes pride in special teams. I mean, you see, we're going to win game. We won games last year because of special teams, because of the defense. So I think that, you know, that's going to solidify. I know people just think it's a punter, but hey, field position is a big thing in football. Trayton, I had to give you a shout out to you, because you got Jacoby Brissett. I know we covered that with our offensive free agents. You know, being here in Indiana, we watch, you know, I watch a lot of Colts games. You know, Brissett, he is what he is. You know, I think he's going to be a solid backup. You know, I know we're all expecting Tua to take that next step. And I think Brissett is a good complement, a good complementary, backup QB. Malcolm Brown, I like that. He's a nice little running back. Again, I'd like to take one in the draft. But that's, you know, that's not a bad signing. Pick him up, and that kind of gives us some options. Vince Beagle, I know we touched on that with the defensive episode, last episode. I know we touched on, we wanted to bring him back. I'm glad we did. We kind of expected we would. You know, he had a good season before getting injured last season. But I think he'll come back, and, you know, we definitely need him at the linebacker position. Matt Sakura, I know some people, there was some overreaction on that, but when you dive deeper with him, you know, he's actually a solid center. You look at the numbers, he developed kind of a little bit of some bad snapping I see some bad episodes last year for that. I think it's all head games. You know, other than that. And lastly, Will the Thrill Fuller from Notre Dame. Our boy, all of our boy, but
hey, you called
it. I got to take a chance. I got to take a second and say I did call it. And he was one of my, he was actually the number one guy. I was banging the table last year. I wanted to trade for him and pick him up last year. But, you know, we got him in free agency. That was our big splash. That's the thing that set Dolphins Twitter over the edge. Everyone was excited. They went from "Aw, Greer's trash" to "We love Greer." So I'm excited for Fuller. I know I'm ordering a jersey. I don't care. That's my guy. I'm so excited. And you know, give me another wide receiver in the draft. Pair him up with Fuller. Boys, we're gonna be special. I'm excited. I know it's a little bit premature, but I think he changes the offense that much with his route running. I know I was watching some tape on him just for the heck of it, because I kind of, you know, watched him a lot at Notre Dame, kind of fell off, didn't watch him as much in the pros, but man, I forgot how fast he is. His footwork is just incredible. And, you know, again, his route running and the deep threat that he gives us, he truly opens up the field for others. So I know there was a few other ones and a few other signings. I'm not going to touch on all of them, but those were the ones that I was the highest on. But yeah, what about you, Cody?
Yeah, let's be honest. You called that Will Fuller one a little bit of a homer call, but it works out every now and again. I'm trying, but I think we're all pretty excited with that one. It's exactly what the offense needs. I mean, the only speed threat we really had was Jakeem, and obviously he is not reliable at all. So I think Fuller, when he is healthy and on the field, he arguably was the best receiver in the free agency class. Obviously his issue is he just hasn't been able to play a full 16-game season, hasn't even had a 1,000-yard season because of that, but he's been on pace for like over 1,000 yards just about every year, at least the last 3 years. He was on pace for well over 10 touchdowns and like 1,200 yards last year before he got suspended. When he's on the field, he's everything we want. He can separate. He can get some yak yards after the catch. Everything we're missing on the offense last year. The reason I wasn't a huge fan of thinking about signing him is because I just kind of assumed that he was going to sign a multi-year deal. But the receiver market kind of tanked, as we all saw. And the fact that we got Fuller for only one season, like kind of a prove it year for him, I think it was a really great deal and probably one of the best deals we were going to get in the wide receiver market. So I think that was a home run for Greer. So I'm pretty excited about it. And I'm really excited about it because it's going to open up for other people on the offense as well. Like we didn't have that person the defense is constantly feared going deep. So that'll open things underneath for a slot receiver if we can get a speedy one in the draft. Going to open things up for Parker. He's never really been paired with a player like Fuller before to take the attention off him. So I think he's going to do really well for us. Trayton, are you saying something?
Are you saying Mac Hollins wasn't a deep threat for us?
I mean, he was against that Vegas game. I'll
say the one play where he's wide open down the field.
Yeah, but I would be very surprised if Matt comes back. No disrespect to Mac. If we enjoyed his little pregame festivities and whatnot, I know that pissed Travis off, but I wasn't a huge fan of him on the field. Obviously, too, Travis touched on a little bit, but the trade for Benedict McKinney, I think, was a great trade. I think he's kind of what the defense was missing last year in the middle of the field. Our run defense was average to below average most of the year. And I think for how good we are in like passing situations, as far as being able to dial up pressures, get after the quarterback, let our corners, let X bait people into getting interceptions, like that's where our defense excels. And to have more passing situations where the running game isn't getting 4 or 5 yards on first and second down, or we can force teams into more third and long situations, I think it's going to be great. So getting that Mike linebacker, stack linebacker in the middle, McKinney, he's like really great against the run. Like he's so physical. It's going to be a huge upgrade over Landon Roberts. And also, I wasn't really convinced we were going to go after a player like him because we've really valued three down coverage linebackers, but he's good enough in coverage to play all three downs. Like he's not great in coverage, but he can hold his own. So I think finding a guy like him who's pretty dominant against the run, but can also cover Also get after the passer. Very good blitzer to keep on third downs is going to be really key. So I'm a fan of that one. Adam Butler was another really good signing. You guy who had 10 sacks over the past 2 years. Just another pass rusher. Someone who can win one-on-one, which I think our defense needs more guys like that. Obviously, we can scheme up pressures with Florida's defense, but we need guys who can win one-on-one too. So Butler rushing from the inside, pair him with Raquan Davis. And, I'm a big fan of him. Justin Coleman was another nice signing. I feel like he's someone who's played really well in the slot corner role in the past. Someone who's going to push Nick Needham. We kind of saw him fall off towards the end of last year in that Week 17 Bills game, gave up a ton of yards. So that's going to be a nice addition to the secondary. But Trayton, what about you?
So I'm going to touch on the trade we made first. Like you guys touched on a lot of it. I just want to add a few. I think he's what we wanted McMillan to end up being, that run stuffer that we can just shoot the gap, maybe blitz here and there, and just create havoc on the defense. We need more difference makers on the defense. Our only like big difference makers are Ogba, and then our blitz packages, and then obviously X. So we need more guys that can create plays on defense. My favorite was Matt Skura. And I know a lot of people were worried about the snapping over the Lamar Jackson and stuff this past year. But we also have to remember he was a starter the last like 4 or 5 years for the Ravens. The Ravens have had one of the best offensive lines for the past like 15 or 20 years. And that's why they've been on top of football and always in the hunt. And what we have to remember is he had a knee injury in 2019. And before that, he was playing super well. And then he had the knee injury, and then he started having some troubles, and then he had a hand injury. And most O-linemen can get away with that, but when you're gripping the ball and having to throw it back to someone, it can cause problems. So I like us getting him for under $2 million. I think we still need to add someone in the draft just in case he doesn't work out, like a Creed Humphrey or something. I think that would be a good pairing. But I really like that signing. I like the Will Fuller signing. It's our boy from Notre Dame. He's got speed, like you guys said. If we paired him with Waddle in the slot, that would be dangerous for other teams. That would be absolutely insane. But I think it gives us more flexibility in the draft as well, and I really like that aspect of it. The other one I liked was Malcolm Butler. And I know a lot of people on Twitter were saying he's Jordan Howard 2.0 and he's just a waste of money, but we got him for under $2 million. He's a veteran presence, and we'll probably draft another running back in a very young locker room and running back room. And he's got a lot of tread on the tires because he's been splitting carries the last 3 or 4 years and with the Rams. He's in the Sean McVay system, so he could give some ideas and show the guys like what he sees. And McVay, it was one of his favorites, and they actually kept him last year because they wanted to pair him with Cam Akers for a year and like show him the ropes basically. And another thing about the Jacoby Brissett, I know Travis touched on it a little bit. He fits the Patriots system. He was with Belichick for 3 or 4 years before getting traded to the Colts. And he's going to give not only to like a veteran presence and be kind of what Fitzpatrick was without as much like trying to take his job, but he's also a big body that we could take in if it's like first goal on the one. We can bring him in for a QB sneak because he's like 6'6", like 250 or something like that. He's built like Cam Newton, basically. So I really like that aspect. And he's shown on the Colts that if you have a good team around him, he can win some games. So those were my favorite signings. So with that being said, is there anyone you would have liked us to sign that signed with another team? Cody?
Oh, man. I like what we did overall, but one of my question marks would probably be why we haven't addressed edge rusher yet. I think letting Kyle Van Noy and Shaq Lawson go kind of opens up a hole there on the edge. I know we're going to give Andrew Van Ginkle a bigger role. We brought Vince Beagle back. He might be able to help there a little bit as well, but I would really like us to find an edge rusher, at least someone who could win one-on-one battles on passing downs. And I thought the free agency class had a lot of good options. And my favorite was Carl Lawson, who actually ended up going to the Jets. So that was kind of a bummer to see him go to a rival. But I thought he was a really high ceiling rusher, that his sack total just hadn't done justice yet to how good he's actually been. Like, he was up like top five in the league in quarterback hits, top five in the league in quarterback hurries. He just didn't quite translate to a high sack total, which I think it probably will in the future. So I'm hoping he doesn't go off with the Jets and be a headache for us trying to block. But I would have loved him coming in. I know we'd have to probably cut a few guys or restructure some guys to make it work with the cap situation. But we'll see what Greer has in mind. I don't think we're just going to let Shaq Lawson and Kyle Van Noy go without addressing edge this offseason, whether it's obviously drafting someone pretty high and like at pick 18 or pick 36 in the second round, or maybe trying to trade for someone. I think we'll try to address it at some point. So I'm going to reserve my judgment there until I see the whole plan pan out.
Yeah. You know, one of the other player I wanted to, that I really wanted, I mean, not really wanted, but I definitely would have liked us to see us get was Riddick. So on cue with what Cody said, you know, that was the big thing. And I think a lot of people are scratching their heads like, man, like, what are we going to do at edge? I know we signed Brendan Scarlett to a 1-year deal. I think he played for the Texans last year. You know, that's not gonna solve the edge. So like Cody said, we're probably gonna aim for an edge in the draft high. And I guess that's just, you know, when you look at Flores's plan, you know, I'm just not worried about it too much. When you look at his defensive scheme, you know, we're going after guys. You look at Van Ginkle. We've got guys who are good at rushing the QB. So it's going to be, I think, you know, this next year, I think a lot of us want to see after that Bills performance, it's going to be, you know, definitely it's going to be it's going to be a committee. You know, it's going to take the entire team. So I'm not so concerned. I know we want a solid edge guy, but I just feel like this year it's a little bit different. I hate bringing it up, but with Deion Jordan, you know, those examples like that, you know, it's going to be, I think we're going to be able to get a guy, we're going to be able to draft a guy, and he's going to be able to fit into this defense. And I think it's going to be one of those fits where they're going to get their guy. And, you know, just like you see with free agency, they did what they, you know, I think they had a plan and they stuck with it. They didn't overreact like some Dolphins fans did. And, you know, you see how it worked out. And I feel like that's the same thing. I hate to be, you know, Mr. Optimistic, but I feel like that's the same thing that's going to happen. Where we draft a solid guy, you're going to be able to plug him into that defense. And, you know, with other guys who can get at the quarterback and with our blitz packages, and we're going to be fine. So I think that's the big thing. I think that's what we all want to see. I agree with Cody. But I'm not too concerned about it. Get your guy, whoever that may be in the draft, and let's mess up some teams on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think Riddick, I wasn't a huge fan of him just because it seemed like kind of a one-year kind of wonder in a contract year. Mm-hmm. The fact that he signed like a one-year, $8 million deal, I would have taken a chance on him with that, like a prove-it deal. So I was kind of surprised we weren't interested. But yeah, I think like – Clowney's still out there. Maybe we'll make another run at him. I know he's turned us down a couple times, so maybe we're just like done with him, but I think he'd be an upgrade for what we currently have. He's not obviously an elite pass rusher, but he's pretty elite at setting the edge against the run, and he's had a couple of years where he was close to 10 sacks, so I wouldn't mind having him come in just to give us a little more flexibility in the draft. I'd probably still draft an edge rusher. And I'm just not like in love with the edge class this year in the draft, was why I would have wanted to sign one, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I had actually the same person. I had Hassan Reddick. After seeing like what he went for, his base deal is for $6 million. It's a max of $8 million. Like, we could have easily cut a few guys and made room for him if we really wanted. But I also think he took a little discount because Matt Rhule is the coach and he coached at Temple. That's where Hassan Reddick was, so I think he wanted to go to a place where he was comfortable with and knew the system already. And
Yeah, that makes sense.
I really like the upside of him, because him having double-digit sacks after switching positions, I think that would have been a really good pickup for us. But I I really like the Jadeveon Clowney thing too, if we could get him, because
his market can't be great. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Sign him, and it's like second week of free agency here, so we could probably get him for a pretty cheap 1 year deal, sure. I would assume.
Like, but even if we just make him a situational player, like, he's still disruptive just to keep his injuries down. But
yeah,
I'm sure we'll address it in the draft if we don't, but or maybe trade for Danielle Hunter. He's a
there we
that'd
go.
Be really nice, but
or if like the Panthers want to come up to three, maybe they can throw in Brian Burns. I kind of like him as a young third year player who showed a lot of promise. So yeah, maybe if we trade down a little bit, we can try to get a pass rusher. That'd be an option for us.
We still got a few weeks before the draft to see if we can make some moves. So we'll see what Greer has in store. What's a signing you didn't like or made you scratch your head from the Dolphins? Was there, if there was any from you?
I didn't really hate any of the signings. They all made sense, at least on paper. I don't know if I'm as in love with the Matt Skura signing as you guys seem to be. I think I get it for the price, like a 1 year, $1.75 million contract. That's pretty great for what he's been in the past. But I do think we are risking having that be a downgrade this year, the center position, just because I think we were looking at a clear upgrade, maybe like David Andrews. I know a lot of people wanted Corey Linsley from the Packers, and it didn't seem like we were willing to even get close to his ballpark price. The reason I'm okay with it is because I think we'll definitely target a center in the draft now, which I think Creed Humphrey is a guy a lot of Dolphins fans have been saying is a perfect fit, and I agree with that. So there's a few really good options in the draft for center. So if we come away with a good center in the draft plus Skura, who can compete, I think it would be a pretty good deal. But I'm slightly worried about Skura because I don't think he was great last year. He's flashed a lot in the past, and obviously with the snapping issues, that would be kind of bad for a young quarterback if those persisted. But got to be able to hope that he can get over that this season. He's got a lot to prove, so maybe he comes out with a chip on his shoulder and has a hell of a season. So I don't like hate it. I'm just not like 100% like over the moon about it. Other than that, I thought it really isn't a signing that I was like against. I think a lot of good depth pieces. One thing I was worried about is special teams. And I think we really addressed that with guys like Brennan Scarlett, Duke Riley, Stephen Carter. So I think we're going to make up for some of the guys we lost who were special teams contributors. So nothing I really hate. Besides not getting an edge, that was kind of my only head scratcher so far.
Travis, do you have anything you hated?
I really didn't. And there was nothing I think the biggest thing was probably Carter, the tight end, fullback, special teams. I didn't hate it, but I was just like, you know, we didn't use our fullback last year. So I think at first it was kind of like, okay, that's interesting. But I think in the back of my head, they obviously have a plan set in place and they're going to use them for something. I mean, you don't just go out and, you know, you don't get a player like that for no reason. Whatever that is, whatever that idea is, that one makes me scratch my head. I'm intrigued by it, but I wouldn't say I don't like it. Going back to the free agents in my free agency list not to toot my own horn, but my list was all guys who, you know, I kind of made the list with, I just wasn't sure with the pandemic, how, you know, what money was going to be like, what the market was going to look like. So, you know, and overspending on players, because I know we've done that in the past. So, yeah, I mean, my expectations were already kind of what I wanted was, I wanted as many solid players to, you know, fill holes that we needed. I didn't want to overspend. I was just, you know, I know obviously we touched on some of those players. There's some you pay what they're worth because of what they can bring you. But if you can get solid guys for, you know, cheaper contracts that, you know, you're not only filling holes, you're adding, you know, depth too. I feel like that's always been a struggle with the Dolphins. You know, we talk about bad luck and stuff like that, but it's like, can you avoid some of that bad luck, you know, an injury here, an injury there? If you do your homework, why can't we be one of those teams who we have a guy who we can just, you know, throw in here because this injury happened, or this decision we made for, you know, player A, you know, isn't work, you know, didn't work out, so we can turn to player B. So yeah, so there was nothing I really hated. Scratched my head on this Ethan Carter, but again, I'm gonna trust it. And yeah, other than that, I agree with Cody. I think the Skura worries me, but I mean, you know, he had other than the like I had said, the mishaps with snapping. I think he'll improve on that. And I know there was an article by Omar Kelly today on Twitter. You know, he's vowed to improve that. He wants to build a relationship with Tua. So, you know, that's promising. You know, I think the talent's there. I think he's got to, you know, hopefully the injuries don't, he can get kind of over the injury hump, like you had mentioned earlier. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think we're looking good, and we still have, you look at the draft, we still have options in the draft. So we're going to keep building and we're going to keep improving, and we'll see if we pick up anyone else that could still help the team.
Yeah, overall, I don't have anything I really hated. If you would have told me before free agency we were going to sign Will Fuller, I probably would have hated it. But since he only got a one-year deal, and then not only the one-year deal, we can franchise tag him next year and make it a two-year deal, basically. So I really like the moves we made. Yeah, the Skura thing, it worries me a little bit. That's why I said, well, hopefully we draft someone. If we don't draft someone, then it's going to be... It could be a big problem for us.
Better move someone around.
Overall, I think we did a good job of just building depth and doing one-year deals to wait until the cap improves next year after the TV deals reportedly got done this year. So the cap will explode here, and we'll have a lot of flexibility next year. So I like the way we set it up. Now, was there anyone from another team that you're glad we didn't sign?
Kenny Galladay, hands down. Just to see how the market shook out, to see, like, obviously we got Fuller for 1 year, Juju signed for 1 year, $8 million, which, like, no one expected that to be his contract. So
back in Pittsburgh.
See the Giants. Yeah, yeah. But to see the Giants just, like, give Kenny Galladay, who's had some injury concerns as well. Like, we talk about Fuller being injury prone. Like, Kenny Galladay is no sure thing to come in and be reliable for 16 games. Like, he was hurt last year. And plus, like, just a fit. Like, I know he would have been an upgrade just because he's better than anyone we had in our roster. But what we have in Devontae Parker and Preston Williams for the price they are, I think is a great value, and I think we're going to keep them around. So bringing someone else with a similar skill set, even though he was better than them, I think didn't make a lot of sense just for us. So I'm glad we got someone with more speed with Fuller and let Kenny chase those dollars elsewhere, because I don't think we were prepared to give them to him.
Travis? Yeah, I'd agree with that. I guess the first name that pops in my head, and, you know, Dolphins fans who love him, they're not going to like this as much, but we touched on him. He was one of the players we touched on if we wanted to re-sign him or let him go. And that was Devon Godshall. I think the Patriots, you know, the Patriots went on a spending spree. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. Obviously, I agree with all, not to be lazy, but basically every player that I feel like was overpaid. I'm glad we didn't sign them. I'm glad we didn't spend, you know, too much, but on any one player. I'm glad we, you know, again, glad I'm happy with the moves that we made. But yeah, Godshall, I feel like, again, he's a good player. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not terrible or anything like that. It's just on our depth, you know, I saw a lot of people freaking out about it, but with our depth, I mean, he was, if you look at it, he was number four on our depth roster. So I'm glad we didn't, you know, pay him that money. Not saying he doesn't deserve it, you know, good luck in New England, I guess. But that's just the first name, I guess, that comes to my head. I'm glad we, not saying we didn't re-sign him, I'm glad we didn't overpay him, because I know, you know, he wanted to be paid. He felt like, you know, that was the price range that he should have been paid in. And for our system, we didn't need to overpay, in my opinion, for him. So I would say that'd probably be my pick. I'd say that I'd go with.
Yeah, I think Adam Butler is a lot better value than Devon Godshall. Yep. Half the price. I don't know if he's quite as good of a player as Godshall was, but he's a definitely better pass rusher. So as a fourth guy and a situational pass rusher, I think I would definitely take Butler over Godshall. So I think we got better there, and I'm not sure New England got what they paid for.
Yep.
And he's coming off an injury. Yes. You don't know how he's going to bounce back.
Are you guys scared about New England at all? Or do you think it's a lot of money for moderate improvement?
I personally am not. I mean, and at the same time, there is respect. You know, there's respect there. I mean, their head coach is Bill Belichick. So, you know, I'm not saying they're going to be terrible. I mean, he went 7-9 with Cam Newton having an off year with – which is funny. I see people saying, well, he didn't have weapons last year, but a lot of those same people are so hard on Tua. It's like, you know, we won't go there. That we'll save that for another episode. Yeah. I mean, it just screams desperation. I think we've all been there. We've seen the Dolphins do it year after year after year, which makes you kind of scratch your head. Like, okay, we're doing the opposite of what everyone's been bitching about all these seasons. So what are you complaining about now? Like, we're doing the opposite of what, you know, we've done in the past. And now you look at teams like the Patriots who are doing it. It screams desperation to me. It screams, obviously they have the money to do it, but obviously, you know, they're not, you know, they haven't exactly hit in the draft the past few seasons. So it's kind of like, okay, well, let's just spend on the players and let's try to fill this with this player. But there's still going to be holes on that roster. And, you know, like I had said before, what about the depth? You know, and of course Belichick, he's a genius, so I'm sure he'll figure it out. He was able to get 7 wins with not that great of a roster last year. But, you know, what happens with one of those guys if they, you know, God forbid one of them goes down? You know, who's your backup? You know, you didn't use the extra money to have this guy, you know, you didn't have the money to have a backup that, you know, might be, you know, be able to at least be decent in that position. So I'm really not too worried about it. I'm way more happy in the situation we're in, especially with the draft still to come. But I'm a homer too, so.
No, I think Belichick's – I don't think he has time for a full rebuild. I think the roster, he realized last year, like, they're not ready to compete for a Super Bowl, so he's like, oh, might as well give it one last try. Spend a ton of money, see if I can show Brady I can win without him. But I think that might be a little better. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. So if they don't make the playoffs, I could see Belichick potentially retiring. Sweet. I mean, that'd be nice, right?
I'll take it. Brady left, then him. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think they definitely improved. But last year, they kind of just grinded out games. Kind of like what we did our first year with Flores. We just grinded out games, tried to grind out the clock. But we also have to remember all the additions they made. They lost their best offensive lineman by far. And 2D, so their run game could suffer a little bit, and hopefully we can take advantage of that. So, with all the free agency now basically done, what grade do you guys give Greer for this free agency in 2021? Cody?
I think I'll give him a solid B for now. I think I just like a lot of really good value. I mean, I'm going to kind of grade on a hard scale just because I don't want to hand out an A and be a homer, but I think a B is a pretty solid grade for what we got. Obviously a clear upgrade with Fuller, like we've said. And this, I think we have more depth now. If we did get an edge, I would have gave him probably an A-, A even. But without that edge player, until we see how that plays out, if we can trade for somebody or potentially sign Clowney, it's still a B for me because there's a pretty gaping hole there. And I don't know if we have as much flexibility as we're hoping for heading into the draft. Like, I think we absolutely have to address wide receiver, have to address edge, probably have to draft a center, probably have to draft a running back. So I don't know if we quite have the flexibility we thought we might. But I think we're a better team. So I'll give Greer a B.
So that's a tough question and a good question. I would love to give him an A. The homer in me would love to give him an A just for the simple fact he signed Fuller for me. I mean, that was my guy. That's who I wanted. So I'd love to give him an A, but I'm not going to do that. So I'll give him a B+. Obviously, we have to see what we're going to do in the draft. And then, you know, those players that he got have to go out and perform. And we'll see how it all plays out. But I'll give him a B+. You know, we didn't overspend, in my opinion. And, of course, the Fuller, you know, even though I can't give him an A for that, me being right about Fuller, I got to give him some props and thank you very much for that, Greer. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'll give him a B+.
Yeah, I'm with Cody. I give him a B. I'm on the same lines. I would have loved to have gotten an edge and really secured that position because it would have given us a lot of flexibility in the draft. But it was also due to the part we needed to shore up one of the O-line spots just because we're so young. Like, if one of the guys don't improve, then we're risking, like, Tua's progress and how he can improve next year. Because we gave him the weapon, and Will Fuller will probably draft another one in the draft. But if he doesn't have time again this year, then he's gonna struggle a little bit. So I know we got Skura, but that was just a what if. And I think we have at least three solid starters next year, but you gotta have a full unit. So I'm glad we didn't pay Lindsley, though. I will say that he got the bag.
Yeah, he got paid.
He did.
But I would have loved like Andrews just to shore up the center position, at least for a 1 year deal. But speaking of the draft, looking forward to it, how do you think our free agency impacted the draft?
I think if we didn't get Fuller, I think we were kind of boxed into getting a receiver. So I think the fact that we got Fuller on the roster now and we got some speed on the outside, I think that kind of opens us up a little bit. I think we have five legitimate options with that first pick. I think we could still go Waddle, could still go Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts. I think all those guys are in play now that we did address the wide receiver position. So I'm glad we did that and didn't pass on that. I think getting McKinney helps a lot. That kind of scratches off a need for us. We don't necessarily have to draft a middle Mike linebacker now. I think we might still do so just for depth and to get someone to develop behind McKinney. But that's not a need. That's not like a have to have anymore, which gives us a little more flexibility. And I also think getting Malcolm Brown, we didn't really have a short yardage back. So I think that kind of influences how we view these running backs. We're still going to draft a running back because I don't think Malcolm Brown is good enough to be like that workhorse starter. But maybe we consider Travis Etienne now even more so than we were before because we don't necessarily have to go power thumper running back. So I know Najee Harris and Javonte Williams are still great fits, but I think throw Travis Etienne in there is one of the top three that we'll probably consider. So I'm glad we signed Malcolm Brown just to give us that a little more flexibility. But I still think, with how things have played out now, I think we absolutely have to draft an edge early, either 18 or 36, in my opinion. So I would love to trade for somebody or sign somebody so that we have a little more options there where we can take a running back potentially at 36 or take someone else at 18. Say if we did draft Sewell at 3, maybe we take a receiver like Tony at 18. So I would love to have that option. So I would love to try to get an edge somewhere before, but I do think we have a little more flexibility going into the draft.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I gave the B+ to Greer. I think it sets us up nicely to do, you know, with the Fullers. The Fuller signing is big because, yeah, like everything you said, we could take Sewell at 3. You could take another receiver in the second round. You can get your edge at 18. So that's part of that's why I'd give him the grade, not just because of Fuller. I know I lowered it a little bit, but just because of that, you have more options now. I feel like we're in a good position with the roster and then filling some of those holes that we did. Like, yeah, we still need to, you know, I'd like us to draft a center. And, you know, again, we have to draft an edge, but we're at least in that position where we're not stuck on someone where we have to kind of press the issue. We can for sure, like, kind of let our guy, you know, whether it's dropped to us or we can get our guy or, you know, it's just we just don't have to press. We don't have to press. We don't have to force the issue or anything like that. Come draft night, you know, just get your guy. And I think it's gonna be fine. I think it's gonna work out because of the free agency, because of the patience, you know, not overpaying anyone, and it'll help us in the future. So,
yeah, for me, the Will Fuller signing, that was the biggest difference maker in free agency. That was the biggest thing we did because not only do we not like feel pressure to draft a wide receiver, we don't feel pressure to draft a wide receiver with speed because our only guy, like you guys mentioned, it was Jakeem Grant left on the roster. Unless Albert Wilson comes back, but now we can grab anyone we want with the number three pick or trade back. Maybe grab Slater if we want O-line just to upgrade and we don't feel pressure to grab someone. But like you said, Cody, we still need an edge bad. I agree with you. We need to use one of our first three picks with it. Maybe even trade back into the first just to make sure we get our guy that we really like, because we got exposed in the Kansas City game and then in the Buffalo game. So, but I like that we filled all of our holes, got depth, and we're good to go for next year. I think it's going to be a big draft for Greer. Big draft.
Huge. Yes, absolutely.
That's it for this pod. As always, give us a follow on Twitter, Three Guys in a Pod. The three is the number three, and you can find our ads on there. Give us a rate and review on iTunes and Spotify, and we might read off a review if you guys leave one. So that's it, guys. Let's go draft season.
Draft season. Flourish, boys.